thank you very much for your time to contribute or join the conversation or interview with SBS Radio Hmong program.
Sure.
First of all, I would like to refer you back to the case that you taking the lawsuit against the current Lao PDR government.
Yes.
First of all, can you tell a little bit about who you are and why you are doing this case?
My name is Roman Frank. I'm a lawyer in Sacramento, California. I've been a lawyer for quite a while. I graduated from Georgetown Law School, which is Washington, D.C., back in 1985. I didn't really plan on this, but I kind of became a Hmong lawyer when I took on a couple Hmong cases, and then they explained to me what's going on in Laos, and I was quite amazed that nobody had done anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I read and I saw a lot of evidence, a lot of videos. There's a lot of documentaries where basically the Laotian government, following the peace accord after the ending of the Vietnam War, so this is going back to 1972,
yes,
everyone kind of left. And in the vacuum of that, that Laotian communist government basically put on a war against the Hmong within Laos, hunted them down, killed them, murdered them, this kind of thing.
Do you have the actual real evidence to prove that?
The evidence is in the form, first of all, generally describing the atrocities against the Hmong people over there. The evidence comes in the form of several documentary films that we will hopefully be allowed to play to the court. I attached a copy of them to the complaint. One of them is called Hunted Like Animals, and it shows a lot of evidence of a general practice in Laos hunting down Hmong people who are affiliated with any family member who served what is called the U.S. Secret Army, which was done at the request of our CIA to Hmong people. You know, in the way it sounds so incredible, it can't be true, but this really is the story. And now Laos was very angry at these people. And after everyone left, after the peace accord, they just started shooting and killing them, and also, unfortunately, raping the women. They've been doing it for 30 years, and nobody's done anything about it. I got involved because I've been a civil rights lawyer for pretty much all my law career, but yes, I've never done this kind of case before. I actually was trying to do another related case that didn't work out, but this one did. I finally got a client. I needed somebody who lost a family member at the hands of Laotian government, and that's the case going forward right now. And where her husband was taken away, and she hasn't seen him in a matter of a couple of years. He's just gone. They just took him away. But let me tell you the people I have. It's the prime minister, the president, the minister of justice, the minister of defense, and the minister of public security. Sort of the top leaders of the top parts of government who had been the doers in okaying a military action against Hmong people and allowing the Ministry of Justice to sue because of their permission to basically make a big exception in Laotian law. You know, murder is illegal in Laos. They have a homicide statute, just like all countries do. But yes, there's one exception. You can kill a Hmong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a weird idea, but that's kind of what it is.
Do you know that this allegation or this lawsuit against the Lao current government or Lao PDR current government is a serious allegation, and how do you take on it? Do you think that the Lao government will cooperate or will join your case?
Well, what's happened is they have decided not to respond to it, and I applied for what's called a default judgment. Default judgment happens when the other side doesn't appear. And in that case, the judge will hear evidence from the victim and assess damages. The judge still makes sure there's evidence to confirm the claim. And we have evidence in kind of two forms. One is evidence of the general atrocities, the history of what happened over there. And we have a lot of videographic and photographic evidence. You know, it's kind of, it's gruesome evidence. It's like fields of dead bodies. And there was a poisoning of the jungle. There was a poisoning of the water supply. There was a mass killing of people. There was also a very odd practice of disembowelment, where they were cutting people's abdomens and letting their intestines come out and then putting it back in. It's some cultural practice. I don't really understand it. But they were doing just all this really cruel and genocidal activities. That part of the case, I don't think, is ever disputable. It's almost like the Germans, you know, there were some Germans, as you know, trying to deny the Holocaust, but there was just, you know, you just couldn't do it. It actually became a crime in Germany to deny the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And there may be a day when that happens in Laos, but right now they've committed basically a genocide of Hmong people who went from a population in the jungle of something I've heard about 300,000, and I've heard now it's down to maybe 2,000. So the other evidence we have, though, is of the victim of the case that I've referred to as Hmong One. I'm using a fictitious name because I don't want her to get killed by Laotian government. We have recorded her statement from the Laotian jungle. There's a challenge here that, you know, normally if I have a default, I have my client right there in court, and they would be sworn in, and they would give testimony about whatever happened. And then the judge would hear them out and then make an award. That's kind of how these... A default trial is kind of odd because you don't have the other side. But the judge still needs to hear it all and make an appropriate judgment in light of what you say. So we have the victim, who is the wife of a man who was killed, testifying through a interview that we've obtained, a telephone interview. And we're having that transcribed, and we're going to submit that to the court. So we're hopeful that the court will allow that kind of evidence, because I can't really get her here.
Everyone was interested that why waiting for 30, 40 years up until now that you're taking this case against the Laos government?
Well, I definitely was not the one sitting around 30 or 40 years. When I first became aware of what was going on there, I was trying right away to get involved, find a plaintiff, you know, someone to go forward on. It took a couple of years for me to find one. Not so easy, because, you know, it's not easy doing stuff in Laos. And I finally got one.
Mm-hmm.
So I've only been involved in this a couple of years. Why the Hmong people didn't do anything a lot longer, I can tell you what they did do was they brought it to the attention of the United Nations, to the European Union, and to the United States government. They were more doing kind of a lobbying job of trying to bring this case into the international world, hopefully getting somebody's attention and getting something done. But unfortunately, nobody did anything, and it was never looked into. Well, it was looked into, but nothing ever really happened as a result. And in the interim, you know, something like 295,000 people have been murdered.
Do you have exact dates that states for the courts to proceed?
We have a default judgment hearing date of February 3, just coming right up. Not sure if the court will resolve the entire default judgment on that day. There might be a two-day session. We'll see. But we'll be appearing there with quite a few people on February 3, 10 o'clock in the morning here in Sacramento, federal court here. The judge will hopefully receive evidence from us of our allegations, including the documentaries attached to our complaint, which include hunted like animals. By the way, I'd like to say that the evidence is interesting because most of the Hmong people in the jungles of Laos, they don't have simple things that we all have, like a cell phone with a camera on it, and they don't snap pictures, take videos, stuff like that. Now, there have been people out there, journalists and other Americans, who have taken those photos and who did take those videos. So the good news is we have all that. But let me tell you something the Hmong people did, which in my view is the most impressive evidence of all. I put this as my most interesting evidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's hand-drawn. It's like they drew artwork of it. And they did it on tree bark. I'm not sure what they use as a pen, but they're very nice drawings of Laotian military soldiers hunting, shooting, killing Hmong people. And there's a whole bunch of them. And those are shown in the documentary called Hunted Like Animals. And to me, The photos and the videos, although those are all quite interesting, the eyewitness photo or drawing by the Hmong people in the jungle, I find to be quite chilling. And really, it's just an amazing concept of people running around hunting other people and shooting them dead. And I don't know how the whole world let that go by for 30, 40 years. You know, it, to me, it's just amazing that that's gone by and nobody's done anything. And I might add, still nobody's done anything, even up to now. I had told everyone right away, look, the court case, there is a very interesting, and you might call it odd, United States federal law called the Alien Tort Claims Act, which allows us to sue here on behalf of an alien, a non-citizen, non-resident, who can show that they suffered injury at the hands of government officials who, in doing what they did, violated international law or international treaty. That's basically the definition of the claim from the statute. And we have cited the Geneva treaties that prohibit war crimes such as rape at a time of war. We have cited the genocide treaty, that this is a genocide and they violated that. We also cited the peace accord that was entered into with Laos at the end of the Vietnam War, which in which fundamentally it stated there will be a ceasefire and there will be peace. And right after that, they just picked up weapons and went out and shot them all. There was a general Hmong in Laos who stated, we will exterminate the Hmong to their root. Mm-hmm. And then that they then went out on helicopter tours all over the jungle with Laotian soldiers with full military gear and full military backing, running around searching for Hmong people and with instructions to shoot them all, the children, the babies, the grandparents, the great-grandparents, everybody there. They would just shoot dead and leave them in the field. They wouldn't even bury them. They'd just leave them right there where they lie.
But according to Laos president, that has celebrated Lao National Day recently from the past year, he mentioned that there is no security issue and development issue. So the Lao government denies everything about any wrongdoing with the Hmong people. So how do you take that?
Well, first of all, they did not respond to my complaint. And I have read where they claim there's some issue about the Hmong that they would use like as an excuse. But the reality is they're the ones that came right out and said, we're going to exterminate them. And they made a statement of their actual intent mm-hmm. to exterminate to the root. That was the phrase they gave. And then they went and did it.
Do you have the actual evidence to prove, like documents or any real evidence to prove that the Hmong will be eradicated to their roots?
The evidence is in the film evidence of all the dead bodies. All the there's quite a few deaths out there.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of photography of just a lot of dead bodies. So the link to the Laotian military is really the people out there just see the helicopters coming in with Laotian military. Mm-hmm. And they got guns and they come out and they shoot them all.
Yes.
So, well, the filming, I will tell you, it's more of a film of the aftermath. Like it'll be showing like 12 bodies, you mm-hmm. know, Hmong people all dead.
Yes, yes.
And you'll see those dead people all over. Part of the evidence we have is a man here who was an American guy who was over there, and he did a big investigation of it. He was a former detective for Sheriff's Department and a district attorney's office here. So he has kind of a law enforcement background. And he will be one of the testifying witnesses. He was there. He saw the dead bodies all over the place. He was able to interview quite a few people. So the evidence will show, generally speaking, there was a war on Hmong people. And then yes. my client will talk about her particulars about how her husband disappeared.
How do you see the international bodies like international criminal courts from the UN or Human Rights Watch, like Amnesty International or Human Rights Watch around the world? Why don't they doing something?
Well, here's what we did. We submitted a petition before the United Nations Commission on Human Rights. That's in Geneva. They have it, and they have all our stuff. We gave them a whole submission, including a copy of our complaint and a copy of the videos attached to the complaint showing all this evidence. Also, they received it before I gave it to them, so that's not the first time they got it. But I just sent it again. So far, I haven't heard back from them. Okay, we're going to get involved. We're going to help you out. One of the things I can tell you, we filed a kind of petition before the UN, and the request is to force Laos to obey the peace accord. One of the requirements was they were supposed to have democratic elections right after the war was over. And they agreed to do it, and they just never did it. Mm-hmm. Instead, the Communist Party has been in power ever since, and that's just been the way it's been. In other words, they never had an election. So we were trying to force them into having an election. That was one of our goals, and it's a violation of the treaty not to. You know, you really can't force a country to hold an election.
Yeah, that's right.
What they did, and or even require one. But Laos agreed in a treaty, and it was a lot of the countries there, I think they were happy to make all kinds of agreements with this because part of the deal, Henry Kissinger brokered that or negotiated it, and a lot of it was all about we're going to leave, and it was a huge motivation. You know, once we were talking about leaving the area, you know, USA, everyone wanted to come to the table and say, great, what do you need? We'll sign anything, you know, just get the hell out of here kind of thing. So they signed an agreement that said they would have a democratic election, and they just never did it. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we want them to do is to have that election. You know, I don't know if that's going to work out. You know, it'd be kind of unusual for any court to be ordering anybody to have an election, but we'll see about that.
So how do you see your case going to be?
Well, Laos may have interesting arguments that they have a right to go out and commit this genocide, but they're choosing not to make that argument. In other words, rather than coming forward and saying the Hmong people are agitators, they are pro-capitalist, pro-royal, pro-monarchy, they want to go back to the old colonial rule program, we don't want to do that, these guys are the enemy, we're going to go kill them. If they wanted to make that kind of argument or whatever, they would be free to come into this court of law and make that argument, but they are not. Instead, they're going to suffer what's called a default judgment, and so their side won't really be heard. Now, they're given an opportunity to be heard, but they're choosing not to be heard. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we're going to get their side of it. We're just going to have our side of it. Well, our side is rather dramatic. I've got lots of video footage of a whole lot of dead bodies all over Laos jungles. I got poison coming from the sky. I got poison plants, poison food. If you eat there, you're going to die. If you drink there, you're going to die. Poison skin problems. And then people going from a population of like 300,000 to something like 298 now.
Okay.
That's what we're going to show.
That's
so
right.
In other words, we're going to have a whole presentation of all of our evidence, mm-hmm. and they're going to have nothing because they've chosen not to appear.
So how does the Lao government react and the Hmong general community reaction to these lawsuits that you are going to taking against the Lao government?
Okay, from Laos, I can answer that pretty quickly. I've received zero response.
Mm-hmm.
And we've served everybody in the complaint. They've all had it. I've received zero response.
Mm-hmm.
And probably that's what's going to happen. I don't know. From the Hmong population, they, of course, are very happy to see that this is finally seeing the light of day and that we've got something happening here that's really getting into it. I expect quite a few Hmong people in court with me on February 3. When my case is called and the judge says, call your first witness, I'm going to call as a witness a guy who went out there and studied it all, filmed it all, interviewed people. He has all kinds of information about it. He's an American guy. He's a former detective. I think the judge will really appreciate his presentation. Very methodical, very factual, definitely evidentiary, you know, photos, everything. Photos he himself took so he can actually authenticate them. And it's kind of dramatic stuff. It's like, here's a picture of a 9-year-old girl that was really nice. She was in our little village area, really sweet girl. And then here's a picture of the next day. She's dead, shot dead. It's just like, wow, you know. So we're going to have that kind of stuff. And then they're going to have nothing. So the Hmong people, of course, are happy that this is finally happening. It's like you said, it really is 30 years overdue. But like some people like to say, better late than never. Let me just tell you, Lao will wake up to this when the court issues a sizable judgment in favor of my client and we go to collect on it. It's going to be then that they will finally probably say, oh, wait a minute, we got to deal with this. So let me give an example. If I got a $5 million judgment on behalf of this one woman, she lost her husband. If a judge granted that to me, then I could go take that judgment and put a levy on any account. I've learned Laos, for example, they have a natural resource of gold and silver, and they have money. So once their account gets levied, at that point, someone will probably call me and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? I don't know. I don't think they'll just let that go.
Do you want to have a final say for this case?
Well, first of all, thank you for taking the time to talk to me about this. I want to say generally that the atrocities in Laos have gone unnoticed by a very sophisticated world that seems to be up on everything nowadays. You know, everyone just seems to be kind of a know-it-all on everything, and yet this is like a big black spot in the world of human rights and as far as the whole communist system of government and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And everything about it is sort of odd because no one knows about it. And it is it's been below the radar. And I don't know how, it's not for lack of trying. The Hmong people have brought this to the attention of the U.S. government, to the UN, to the European Union. And it's just like nobody's done anything. And it's kind of odd that it would fall on me. I'm just a private lawyer. I'm not some big institution. I don't have any big money backing. I'm just a guy who's a lawyer, you know. And I'm doing a case. We're doing something about it. And I appreciate the press kind of getting word about this. Maybe, you know, if the word gets around and people start to know the plight of the Hmong, you know, maybe some solution can be had here. So I'm hopeful that with the court case, attention is being drawn to it. I think if we get a nice judgment, that'll draw more attention to it. And hopefully, you know, we'll get something from Laos saying, okay, we're going to stop doing it. I'm looking for an injunction where the court orders Laos to stop it, to obey treaties, in other words. So I just appreciate whatever we can do to bring some light on this whole issue. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.